We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello, welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. As always, I am your host and the suppository of all wisdom, Matt Harvey. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. This podcast is, of course, made possible by a generous grant from Raising the Interest Rate for the Third Time in 5 Months. We'd really like to thank Raising the Interest Rate for the Third Time in 5 Months for their support. Interest rates. We have little interest in them until they are raising faster than your baseline anxiety. Tired of having money? Wish your mortgage had more personality? Well, good news. Interest rates are back for the third time, with a thrilling hike in just 5 months. Apparently, because your financial stability was just getting a little bit complacent, and we can't have that. With raising the interest rate for the third time in 5 months, you can enjoy exciting new life adventures and unlock hidden features like watching your repayments grow while your salary experiments with stillness. Playing everyone's favorite game, what should we sacrifice next? If you like the thrill of reality TV, voting things off an island or out of a compound, then you'll love What Should We Sacrifice Next? All the bleakness of reality TV, but in real life. Choose between heating your home or eating food that isn't beige goop. Your social life or your electricity bill. Fresh vegetables or the concept of savings. Joy or a fixed interest rate. A second meal per day, or the radically nebulous idea of retirement. Choices are abound. What will you choose? And of course, the classic, paying significantly more for exactly the same lifestyle. Experts say this latest increase is designed to cool the economy, which is economist code for put a little blanket over your dreams and wait for death. Raising the interest rate for the third time in 5 months, because nothing says progress like going backwards, but this time, more expensive. But as thankful as we are for raising the interest rate for the third time in 5 months for their support, and it is such good support, this really is only possible due to the generous support and loyal viewers like you, who continue to make all of this possible over at patreon.com/MattHarveyStuff. Support the bullshit arts. The last thin line between culture and whatever this is. A curation of loosely structured thoughts, confidently delivered half ideas and opinions that arrive before the facts. Then you already understand what we do here, and we'd like your support. This isn't just a podcast. No, no. This is a living museum of the art of bullshitting. For just a few dollars a month, you can help preserve this endangered craft, ensuring future generations can experience the thrill of hearing someone sound right without the administrative burden of being correct. Because without your support, this show may be forced to research things, prepare thoughts, and worst of all, I can barely say it out loud, makes sense. Oh, the pain. So please, give now. Because if you don't support the bullshit arts, who will? The market. Don't be absurd. Now moving on, of course, none of this would at least be possible or even necessary without my live shows. So it's all for, guys, the live shows. I am actually about to leave for a very tiny European tour over to Brighton as part of the Brighton Fringe and Brighton's own Free Fringe from the 18th until the 21st. We'll be taking my old show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. Then I will be swinging by Switzerland, the little town of Basel in Switzerland, for a one-off show there. Not part of any festival, just something to do in between two festivals before I arrive at Prague for the Prague Fringe, May 25th until the 29th. So if you are there, if you know anybody there, and you think they'd be interested in the kind of thing that I do, please send them my way. I would love to see some of you out there, or to, you know, just know that any of this is worth it. So until then, my friends, until then, I will be the bearer of weird news. Let's get into the headlines, shall we? Australia and Japan have signed multiple new agreements to bolster cooperation on energy, defence and critical minerals, while warning against economic coercion and promising to consider a joint response if their economic security is threatened. But Australians all over the country were heard saying, look, we're ready to make a bit of a deal, Japan. Come here, Japan. Come here. Let's make a deal. We'll continue to give you our gas for free, but you need to improve our intercontinental rail networks for free. How's that sound? How about it, Japan? Shall we make it here? For the first time, scientists have mapped all the nerves of the clitoris. On the plus side, this work could be used to improve reconstructive procedures to restore the clitoris and clitoral function in patients who need it. On the downside, however, the kind of man who can't actually find the clitoris is definitely going to be the kind of toxic guy who doesn't need to use a map or ask directions in order to drive you to Pleasure Town. Ladies, an online rental platform has been urged to stop collecting users' personal information after the Australian Privacy Commissioner found the gathering of excessive data compounded the vulnerability of tenants amid the housing crisis. A comprehensive list of the data collected includes gender information, detail on dependents, student status, bankruptcy status, retirement status, previous living history, current ownership of property, application for other properties, bond or rent assistant application status, citizenship status or visa inquiry, zodiac or astrological signs, whether your sign is currently in retrograde, belief in crystals, voodoo or other forms of alternative religion, gym membership status and how often you actually attend said gym, standard breakfast item choices, if you've ever been an employee of the month, your mother's maiden name, your library card number, and the last 10 books that you've actually borrowed, and whether or not you read those books, your phrenology reading, the current balance of your humours, your e-meter measurement, and of course, a lie detector test. The list is informally known as the cavity search because of its intrusive nature, and it is, to be honest, as bad as that sounds, it is better than the previous name that they used to give, which was the bang bus, because it'll fuck you out of your home. Pizza, fried chicken and donut shares have plunged on the Australian Stock Exchange as cost of living has caught up with the fast food industry and everything is being downsized. Retail food groups saw double-digit losses. Finally, something on the menu that isn't overpriced. The only thing that's shrinking faster than these share prices is the size of a Domino's large. Researchers have discovered 25 million year old platypus fossils in outback South Australia, where they are believed to have lived with ancient lungfish, flamingos, and freshwater dolphins. There was one thing that stood out about the ancient animal. They had well-formed teeth. Scientists spent 20 years digging to confirm what we already suspected, which was that at some point, the platypus was even more weird than it is now. Imagine a platypus with a big set of chompers in its mouth. These ancient platypuses had teeth for crushing shellfish, which means modern platypuses gave up chewing sometime around the same time that we gave up having affordable housing for the working class. A platypus with teeth feels like nature briefly considered making the creature make some kind of sense. Panicked, and then immediately over-course corrected in the other direction. Quickly, give it venom. Make it excrete milk from its fur. Make it lay eggs. Yeah, that'll be good. Make it glow under UV light. I don't care if nobody can see it. Just make it happen. After the alleged murder of 5-year-old Kumanjay little baby in the Northern Territory, Matt Canavan stuck his face into the issue to demand a royal commission into sexual assault in Indigenous communities so that it can be promptly ignored for 30 years like previous Indigenous Royal Commissions. Yeah, that'll get the job done. The leader of the party, who actively ignored Indigenous affairs for a decade, says that the government needs to do more for Indigenous communities. Isn't that interesting? Canavan debuted his new cosplay character, man who suddenly cares about Indigenous affairs despite being in political party that actively made things worse for them for a decade, then campaigned against The Voice, and he is absolutely nailing the role. That's actually the best I've seen him do for a long time. Canavan was outraged that the PM hasn't declared Labor will unnecessarily and publicly stigmatise the Indigenous community in order to score easy political points, in place of maybe thinking about possibly actually doing something. Scientists are now warning that increasing amounts of CO2 in our atmosphere and climate change are getting so bad that it's actually making food less nutritious. This is great news for fad dieters. Thanks to climate change, we can now finally enjoy low-calorie, low-nutrient, low-hope diets. We can all call them deconstructed survival. This is incredible efficiency. We've managed to invent junk food at the molecular level. Soon you'll be able to bite into a carrot and you'll immediately need to visit a dentist. We're really nailing this capitalism pipeline here. It's great. New research suggests that inaudible infrasound waves emitted by a building's old boiler pipes and plumbing can negatively influence someone's mood, making them feel unnerved and uncomfortable. And that could be enough to convince them that there are ghosts in the property, especially if they're already open to supernatural explanations. Infrasound makes people uneasy, sad, and suggestible, proving once again that the real paranormal force is poorly maintained HVAC systems and late-stage capitalism. Priests everywhere are being retrained as plumbers, spawning a new reality TV genre, what if holy water, but for radiators? We're going to need an old plumber and a young plumber. I believe the catchphrase will be something like, the pipes compel you, the pipes compel you. I don't know, I think it'll be give it a go. At the very least, we could sell it into an international market. YouTuber and amateur clown Avi Yemeni announced plans to establish a Free Palestine Party in order to redirect left-wing votes towards parties on the right. Which, look, I'm just going to put this out there. Obviously, these guys aren't able to get the votes that they need to get into power, so they have to steal votes from the left. But that aside, Yemeni has seemingly forgot that preferential voting exists and that people on the left, they are all about controlling their preferences and would never, I mean never, be caught dead voting above the line, allowing their preferences to flow as the party chooses. No way! They can't even get along with each other. You think they're going to let you control their preferences? No chance. They don't even support art that hasn't been properly vetted. You think you can get them to vote over the line for a party that they've never heard of just because of some buzzwords? How stupid do you think these people are? They'll be in the voting booth saying, oh, you want a free Palestine, do you? Name three things about Palestine that aren't war, rubble, or headlines. I'll wait. The Victorian Electoral Commission says there is no provision in the state's electoral law to prevent parties from having misleading names. It is, however, considered a bit of a cunt act. There is no need to create a party that will fail to live up to the promise of its name. We already have the Labour Party for that. Oh, that was fun. Maybe we could do a couple more of these. Anyway, for electoral balance, shall we? Let's see. There's no need to create a disappointing party that will only end up funneling voters to One Nation. We already have the Liberal Party for that. One more. There is no need to create a party that will actively deceive the working class who cast their vote for them. We already have One Nation for that. Upshop chain Savers Australia has denied there is evidence of bed bugs at their popular Brunswick store. Allegations of bed bugs being found in bedding items at the store have circulated in community Facebook groups for more than a week. Facebook groups, ah yes, that's right, where all the most reliable sources live. It's a volatile mix of local cat missing and chemtrails are turning my bins into socialists. I think the real problem here is a philosophical one. If you buy secondhand sheets and don't get at least a mild sense of unease, are you even op shopping properly? Did someone die wearing those boots? I don't know. Is the melancholy that I feel wearing this jacket psychic resonance from the past owner being dumped while wearing it, or just existential dread from everything else? I couldn't tell you. If I buy this chair with the wonky leg, will I actually spend some time on the weekend lovingly restoring it, or will I spill 6 coffees before I decide to hand it into a different op shop in order to save face? Who could say? But these are the important questions that we must ask when op shopping. Of course, Savers Management says that there is no infestation, just the return of vintage itch core. And if you don't know what that is, you should go back to shopping at Kmart, poser. Moving on now to the bigger stories, starting with Royal Commission news. Australia has just had another Royal Commission. For those unaware, a Royal Commission is an independent, temporary investigative team set up by the government to figure out exactly what went wrong, who is accountable, and how to fix it. Kind of like the Scooby Gang if they went mainstream and got government jobs. And much like the Scooby Gang, they usually come to the same conclusions. There are no monsters or boogeymen, except for capitalism and the greed of those entwined by it. And I believe each Royal Commission to date has ended with an unmasked individual yelling, "And I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids." At least, that's how I remember them ending. Our latest Royal Commission was focused on anti-Semitism and social cohesion, examining the circumstances surrounding the December 14th shooting in Bondi, and managed to come to the conclusion, while intelligence funding has increased overall from $10.9 billion 5 years ago to $14.3 billion, there is a significant fall-off in the share of that money that is going to counter-terrorism, which is a genuine surprise that I want to be happy about, given how much they roll out the threat of terrorism to justify any sort of unpopular choice. You know, the creation of detention camps on Manus Island and Nauru, terrorism. Banning expressions like "from the river to the sea," terrorism. Of course, defunding scientific research into renewable power to continue to invest in fossil fuels. Well, we can't let environmental terrorists win, now can we? No, no, no. We will burn the world to the ground around them instead. Most obvious of which was, of course, the participation in US-led efforts in Iraq and Syria, and jumping to be the first country in the world to give the US Australia's elusive "nah yeah" tick of approval over the whole situation in Iran. After all, those guys are brown, and we put brown people in detention on Manus Island and Nauru for being theoretical terrorists, right? So it all ties together. So of course, we're gonna give the tick of approval. This allows us to maintain our sense of plausible deniability, because we said "nah" before we said "yeah," do you see? So the uncultured people out there who don't know our sophisticated culture might not be aware that we use both the "yeah, nah" and the "nah, yeah" system of approval and denial. And because they don't know that we do that, they might have only heard the "nah" and missed the "yeah." You know what I mean? Over 100 pieces of legislation have been enacted, including the introduction of control orders, imposing restrictions on freedom of movement or association, preventative detention orders which allow secret detention, and the mandatory retention of all Australians' metadata for 2 years. Remember that? Back in 2015? Months after they introduced fiber to the node, they decided that all this fast internet data shouldn't go to waste. They'll hold on to it, just in case, you know, just in case of terrorism. increased funding and powers for the AFP and ASIO so that they can terrorise Australians. So technically, still terrorism related, just, you know, they're enforcing the terror instead of preventing it. And Home Affairs Minister was granted the power to strip dual citizens involved in terrorism of their Australian citizenship. But a person's Australian citizenship cannot be revoked if it would render them stateless. So, life hack for terrorists, I guess. You got to decide in advance which country you want to live in detention for the rest of your life. As soon as they arrest you, you just sort of shout out loud, "I renounce my foreign citizenship! I renounce my foreign citizenship!" Checkmate, government. What are you going to do now? And recent proposals use anti-terror frameworks to crack down on groups labelled as, quote, hating Australia, end quote, or promoting far-right extremism. Though, still no word on when they'll be deporting Pauline Hanson, number one hater of Australia. She doesn't seem to like anything about the country. Well, sorry, that's not quite correct. She definitely likes Gina Reinhart. She loves Gina, but everything else she seems very upset about. You know, Pauline, if you don't like it, you can leave. Expanding all these powers and ostensibly cutting funding to anti-terrorism measures is certainly unexpected. Think of it like this. Cutting back on funding anti-terrorism in a post-9/11, post-One Nation winning more than one seat in Parliament world is a bigger gamble than trusting Crown Casino to run its own business without money laundering. Not because the actual threat of terrorism, no. But because you can't afford to be seen as weak on being anti-terrorism. It's a trap, you see. You don't need to increase funding, but when you don't, or heaven forbid, you reduce it or try to improve things elsewhere, suddenly you're being accused of rolling out the red carpet for terrorists. It's a real catch 9/11 situation. An interim report has made 14 recommendations to strengthen counter-terrorism responses, because One Nation is coming up the ranks and they will cry terrorism at almost anything, like Chicken Little, you know? If a person doesn't put chicken salt on chips, terrorism. Not spreading Vegemite thinly and all the way to the edge of the bread, terrorism. Bad-mouthing fairy bread, terrorism. Destroying sacred indigenous sites to help mining companies. Oh, actually, no, that's, sorry, that's, I don't know how that got on the list. That's not terrorism, that's patriotism. But most parties already agree on that, so I don't even know why we brought it up. But terrorism is the only boogeyman that we've gone to more than the dreaded Dole Bludger. He's not here, is he? Watch out. Or, as it is often known, the economic terrorist. What could they possibly be spending that money on instead, if it's not to fight terrorists? I mean, aside from hypothetical AUKUS submarines, you know we're supposed to be receiving a bunch of Schrodinger-class submarines any year now. The Royal Commission noted statements since 2021 by the head of ASIO that its focus had shifted from terrorism to foreign espionage and interference as the agency's primary concern until 2024, when the terror threat level was raised to probable. And then there was an actual terror attack, and so now we have to regress to that post-9/11 mindset and act like fearful idiots all over again, you know, pretend that we're cool with the government sending our tax dollars into the bank accounts of Raytheon and friends to blow up children and weddings in the name of defence and terrorism. That being said, it does seem Queensland's coalition are not convinced. They have rejected the Bondi Report recommendation of a gun buyback, insisting plans for a national gun buyback will not keep weapons out of the hands of terrorists and criminals. And unsurprisingly, Pauline attempted to take money from the NRA. Hanson claimed the Royal Commission would be a waste of time and taxpayers' money if it focused on firearms issues rather than immigration. Maybe she can get her mate Gina Reinhart to pay for it instead, hey? She seems to have enough money, shouldn't be a problem. She looks like she's in a very giving mood recently. I'm sure you can convince her. Truly, the biggest surprise of this whole commission is that old Albo has come out and said that all recommendations related to the Royal Commission would be adopted. Sorry, come again. Did I misread that? Let me just... Yes, no. I just had to check the script there for a second and make sure that it wasn't a typo. All the recommendations from a Royal Commission? That's so strange. This is unlike any Royal Commission in living history. Maybe even in all of history. Who knows? I mean, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse made hundreds of recommendations, and many of them are still unimplemented. The Banking Royal Commission exposed systemic criminality, yet I don't recall a senior executive facing consequences. The Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody delivered 339 recommendations, which have been mostly ignored for about 30 years, while deaths continue to rise. And I don't want to speak for the people of Australia, of course, but I feel confident in this one. I don't like the neglect after a Royal Commission, but I was kind of okay with it when everybody was getting ignored equally. You know what I mean? The government is going to divide this nation by actually following through on the recommendations from a Royal Commission after decades of neglecting everybody else. But honestly, Albo, buddy, Chan, what are you doing? If you really want to see more social cohesion between the Jewish people and everybody else, and we all do, I'm all for that. You're going to need to ignore most of the Royal Commission recommendations for at least 30 years just to bring them on even footing. If you want them to feel like Australians and you want them to feel like everybody else, we'll get a minimum buffer of 30 years of ignoring. So we'll just start the clock now and we will all be angry together. But it is necessary. This is a necessary step just to make us all feel like we're on the same page. Moving on now, it is data news. Data is big business these days. Mark Zuckerberg built his entire empire on your data. And now that dog has more money than a bunch of small countries combined, because now businesses know if a child is pregnant before their parent does, so that they can sell them either nappies or Plan B for 50% off. Depends on the type of child they are. It's this weekend only though, so don't miss your chance. This sale is subjective to surge pricing, and a lot of people are very irresponsible with safe sex this weekend, so you gotta click the link now! But it isn't just business that loves data. Governments have really come around on the usefulness of data. Can you believe that in only 2014, the Australian government didn't see the need to upgrade the NBN for faster internet, saying, quote, most Australians don't want 100 megabytes per second fibre internet, end quote. Oh, how the tables have turned. Try even getting in touch with Centrelink without working internet. I don't think it's possible. Those phone lines are less accessible than upward social mobility for the working class. Now, governments love the internet and all that juicy, juicy data that it grants them access to, as is evidenced by a FOI from Crikey, which confirmed Donald Trump's attempt to grab Australians' biometric data is even bigger than we first thought. Australia is deeply engaged with discussions with the United States about handing the Department of Homeland Security and ICE. You know, those murderous motherfuckers, ICE. You might know them from such atrocities as murdering innocent people for trying to stop them from deporting immigrants, and sometimes people who aren't even immigrants, but had the misfortune of being on the right side of history in public. Trump wants them to have access to all Australians' biometric data, and I don't mean those of us still drawn in by the bright lights and pop culture, who just want to see the Seinfeld diner one time before we die. No. This is every Australian's data. From Crocodile Dundee to Bluey. The documents also reveal that the US grab for our most unique personal information is significantly wider in scope than indicated by other countries' negotiations with the US. Under what will be called an Enhanced Border Security Partnership, the US government is demanding all countries participating in the US Visa Waiver Program ensure that DHS can screen applicants for US benefits and protection and individuals encountered in a border and immigration context in the US, and travelers to the US who are Australian citizens or have a nexus with Australia. If you aren't sure what the phrase nexus with Australia means, well, it's a weaselly phrase that is deliberately vague so that they can throw as large a net as possible over as much of the population as they want, dramatically expanding the people whose data would be targeted by the US, including anyone who has visited Australia or has a visa to enter Australia or has any other kind of connection to Australia, including holding an Australian passport. It also confirms that this will not be confined to biometric data linked to criminal records, but all available biometric data. See, as an Australian, when you enter America, you usually will enter using an ESTA visa, right? That's what the little trade-off we get for our good relationship with America. And by good relationship, I do mean we follow them into every war that they start, you know, like a nice little lapdog. For those of you who don't know, this means you enter the country, you make some very small concessions, simple stuff, small things, you won't even miss them, right? You can only visit for under 90 days, which, who would? You know what I mean? It's not so much a punishment as it is a favour, that one. Obviously, you can't work, that one's pretty obvious. And this is one that I have found that a lot of people miss, okay? A lot of people have missed this one. You give over all rights to legal defence should anything go wrong and should you find that you need it. It's an interesting choice, isn't it? Right? Nowadays, they want to see all your social media for the last 5 years. So it seems the only people getting in there these days are hardcore Disney nerds, because even the TSA aren't determined enough to read 5 years worth of tweets about Disney. They'll be there going like, oh, another one? Oh my god. Yes, we get it. We like, you like Frozen. All right, we understand. Just, you know what? Just let them in. Just let them in. At worst, they'll blow up Disneyland, alright? It's a small loss after all. But it's not just social media. No. The new rules are designed to protect America from visitors with hostile attitudes towards its citizens, culture, government, or institutions. You know, those sacred American institutions. We all know them. We can say them together. You ready? Hot dogs, hamburgers, flags in the front yard, school shooting, dog shit healthcare, and invading foreign countries under the pretense of drugs or weapons, but really it was for oil, you know. Sacred American values, we're all familiar with them. Just between us, I also heard that you could be denied entry if you ever liked a tweet that criticized the Cheesecake Factory, or worse, if you still call tweets tweets. Oh yeah, apparently they consider that un-American behavior these days. Now, I said they want your biometric data. So this is going to include things like face, fingerprint, DNA, and iris biometrics. They want family details. They want phone numbers and, quote, high-value data. This will include all telephone numbers visitors have held over that same time, IP addresses and metadata from phones, and email addresses held for the past decade. Whew! The past decade. That's crazy. Including an email address that many of my listeners, I imagine, will be of a certain age, myself included, and we'll have email addresses that end in the words hotmail.com, which you may have created in high school and have only held on to because, well, the internet is a dark and shitifying place, and a lot of the websites are questionable at best, so we send that email out there sort of like a, oh, good luck, little email, come back to me, please. We throw it out there, you know, like a boomerang, you know, hoping that it will return to us safely. And sometimes when it does, you know, it comes back with 500 offers for dick pills, and you're like, ooh, thank you, little boomerang. Subscribe. Calling anything in that email address high-value data is optimistic at best, wildly delusional at worst. And that's just the stuff that we know about. Most of the pages in this FOI were redacted, unsurprisingly. This is, after all, the most secretive government in history. Big questions are abound, like, will our data be safe? Where will the US store this data? Now, fortunately, the current administration is actually really good at keeping documents safe. All of our data will be kept in portable hard drives that will sit in cardboard boxes in the toilets at Mar-a-Lago. Safest place in the world. Safest place they could possibly be kept. Nobody will want to go in there after Trump has dropped a McDonald's-powered nuclear attack on the toilet. And the radioactive fallout will mean that nobody can safely enter that space for years. Decades, in fact. So don't worry about your data. It's in a safe place. For those who were too young when this came in, or maybe just forgot, despite thinking that they never want more than 100 megabytes per second of data in Australia, our own government does still store our own data for 2 years. Remember I mentioned it earlier? So they will have plenty of metadata to give over when the time comes. Hardly seems worth the electronic visa at this point, right? Why would we hand over that data to the government directly, for free, when we already have Palantir in Coles supermarkets right now? So if the US really wants our data, they can buy it from us, from one of our duopoly supermarkets, you know, like everybody else. It's hard to think this thought, let alone say it out loud, but Palantir got in first. They worked hard collecting all of our data. And now we are just gonna give it away like it's natural gas? No, no, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable. But hey, it isn't just Trump calling for this kind of radical data collection. No, 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 no. Gina Reinhart recently called for immigrants' social media to be screened at her Anzac Memorial speech, revitalizing the spirit of the diggers, ready to drop anything in order to fight foreigners. The more foreign they are, the more we're gonna fight them. The mining magnate also claimed that children are being taught to be ashamed of the Australian flag in her speech. We aren't ashamed of the flag. She's got that all wrong. No, 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 no. We wanna make some changes, sure. But I think that's just anti-Monica sentiment more than anything else. What we're ashamed of is the people who use the flag as an ideological shield to protect their worst ideas. There's a slight difference between these two ideals, but I understand why you'd be confused. Nuance is hard when you're trying to conjure up the boogeyman. Any boogeyman will do in a pinch. Probably terrorists. Reinhart claimed the Australian government was wasting money, eroding freedoms, running an ineffective defence force, leaving veterans homeless, teaching children to be ashamed of the Australian flag, and doing nothing in response to death chants. This from a woman who hasn't seen a person who earns less than $210,000 a year from a distance of less than 400 feet for most of her life. Unless, of course, they were part of the working class exhibit in her human zoo, which she would pat them fondly on the head and feed them little snackies and say, "Return to work! Make me money!" And, of course, she would make that limit higher, but $210,000 is the annual salary of a politician, and she does need to talk to them. Why do you think that she's giving Pauline Hanson so much money and so many undeclared gifts? Currently, she's slumming it by spending time with someone as poor as Pauline. And she thinks that this humanizes her. Being seen cavorting with the paws. Oh, oh, look at her slumming it with the low class. What a wonderful person she is. Reinhart said our immigration procedures must only allow immigrants who have been thoroughly checked, including their phones, iPads, laptops, and social media. Question: what are you even looking for? Nobody has ever posted death to Australia posts. The only people talking about death to Australia are right-wing politicians. People don't think of us at all. That's the sad truth of it all. Let alone hate us for anything worse than annoying backpackers. And look, there are a lot of legitimate reasons to not like Australia. But you know what? You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe there is people out there posting negative things about Australia. And even if they did, I do believe it was Australian philosopher and keg of beer pushed on its side, Barnaby Joyce, who recently argued that convicted criminals deserved a chance at redemption. Well, if convicted criminals deserve a second chance, then surely non-convicted criminals, or criminals who have only been convicted in the court of white supremacist opinion or in the court of Twitter, also deserve a chance. Pauline Hanson herself has been in jail, and Gina loves to show off her working class jailbird friend. You know, brings her to parties like Henry Higgins, showing off her Shazza Doolittle at a high-end party for muckety mucks. The driver of this demand for data has been the Bondi shooting, of course. Reinhart condemned the shooting as anti-Semitic and said Australia's response had been inadequate. Which feels like a lot of hypocrisy for someone who is so connected to white supremacy that they're currently funding One Nation and have funded Advance Australia in the past, which has been involved in campaigns opposing the Indigenous Voice to Parliament and Welcome to Country ceremonies. In an attempt to win hearts and minds and voters, her company announced that it would put $200 million towards buying properties to convert into housing for homeless Australian veterans. Which on the surface of it seems like a very good thing to do. The government should probably be doing that. However, this is despite last year using this very same platform, the Anzac Day platform, to call for Australia to lift its defence budget to 5% of GDP and invest in Israeli-style drones. Which will, of course, inevitably end up sending more of these soldiers to war, to their deaths, or to the veterans queue, where they won't be looked after, as she has proclaimed, further creating the circumstances that the wars make, which necessitate refugees to flee their home countries in the first place. So this just a cyclical hatred cycle that you are self-creating in order to, I don't know, stop people from taxing your mining company? Is that what it's all about, Gina? Moving on now, it is intellectual property rip-off news. In a story stolen directly from the Twilight Zone, a wealthy New Zealand couple who have bought a $20 million lodge in Golden Bay, which, for the rest of us, is located on the South Island of New Zealand, which, for the people who aren't Australian or New Zealand, okay? Yes, New Zealand is split into two islands. Well, technically it's three islands, but nobody acknowledges a Stewart Island except to say that nobody acknowledges Stewart Island. So much that if you Google New Zealand Third Island, it actually automatically assumes it is Stewart Island instead of saying, it is true, New Zealand is made up of three islands. Which one would you like to know about? And these richy riches are offering to build a post-apocalypse library. Ooh la la. In a story that is so close to the Twilight Zone episode, Time Enough at Last. You know the one. It's one of the ones that everybody knows. You know, it's the one where the big twist is that a man in the 50s was willing to admit that he wasn't happy with his work-life balance and actually wanted some free time to maybe sit quietly and read a book. Other episodes of The Twilight Zone that they are looking to blatantly rip off after they've built their library include they will send a monster out to destroy any planes that enter their airspace. They will raise an entitled boy with infinite power who nobody questions to defend their isolated landscape. In a future totalitarian society, a librarian is declared obsolete and then sentenced to death. So just watch out. Whoever gets this librarian job that's potentially coming your way. And of course, they will get a cookbook that has recipes on serving human meat. I hear that microfish and chips is a very popular meal, but be careful because microfish is made of humans. More specifically, they are looking for an intellectually curious curator to create a private library for survivors of an apocalypse, which they spent $20 million on and have most notably put a rather hard and fast deadline, which has now passed. And given that it is usually some sort of millionaire's fault that large parts of the world or society die or no longer function the way they're supposed to, you do have to wonder why they need to fill this position so quickly. What do they know that we don't? The focus is on essential knowledge, like building and repairing walls and how to pay hired goons when money as a concept has faded and doesn't have any value anymore. Foundational literature like the Odyssey and most of the works of Shakespeare, obviously not the ones that have kings or power figures being overthrown, so probably just the comedies. Practical survival and technical domains, like the Farmer's Almanac, so that we know that the best time to grow plants and farm, and the Sports Almanac, 1955 to 2000, so that we can go back in time and take power and build wealth, so that we can use that power and wealth to learn how to hold down a farmer's revolt. Because I'll be damned if I'm going to grow my own fruits and vegetables, but I don't want to be overwhelmed by farmers. Philosophy, history, and culture, of course, stuff like Plato's Republic, The Art of War, and the amended works of Descartes, with the new philosophical idea being, I pay, therefore I am in charge. The role combines collection, development, intellectual curation, and research, and on-site collaboration. So if the world falls apart as soon as this ad implies that it's going to, you might be stuck at work for the rest of eternity, and I can think of no worse fate. And I actually like my job. But do I want to be stuck in the basement of a bar with 100 strangers for the rest of time? Fuck no. Part of what makes it special is that it ends after an hour and you all leave. The other major catch is that you have to live on South Island, so swings and roundabouts. The position is designed with some kind of an extinction event in mind, stating the project is to curate a high cultivation, enduring collection, a library that would remain meaningful and useful under extreme long-term scenarios. Given that they just spent $20 million to get this property, they could have invested that $20 million, in a foundation that would help the planet, or stop the poor from rising up by placating them by having their needs met. Wild ideas, I know. Why do you think boomers almost never want to fuck shit up? They're comfortable. The planet has become a lazy boy chair in a room set at a perfect room temperature, and they'll never get to the point of uncomfortable heat, let alone blistering heat of the post-apocalyptic desert. So they're fine. But really, then it would be a waste of money buying a secluded island lair at the edge of the world, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? So I guess they have to lean into the apocalypse. It is their imperative. They wouldn't want their investment to go to waste. And that, my friends, that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. If you've enjoyed this, or if you think you know somebody who would enjoy this type of content, do share it around. I'm out there on the platforms. This is a video podcast. This is a regular podcast. I do have the Patreon. You can encourage them to come and join the Patreon. I have bonus stories on the Patreon, a fun little animal story for our bonus story this time. So if you want to check that out, head on over to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/MattHarveyStuff. And of course, do come out to live shows. The heartbeat, the living culture of this is doing those live shows. That's what it's all for. That's what I enjoy doing more than anything else. So if you want to come out and see more of my comedy, if you enjoy this sort of stuff and think you'd like to see more of that, then do come to the show. I think you'll be in for a good time. Until then, my friends, until then, I'll see you later. Goodbye.